in Acts 2:21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The outpouring reaction of the Holy Spirit of God being poured on the offspring, on the flesh, being poured in a dry, thirsty place, is that there's going to be an upshooting of life. And whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There will be an addition of salvation. Take your Bibles and go with you to Acts chapter 1 and verse 3. And this afternoon we're looking at the promise of the Father. God the Father sent a promise, the message through Jesus Christ. And what is the promise of the Father? You're going to know shortly here. In Acts chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible says, "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the goodness of your word. We thank you for the comfort we find in praising you together. Father, thank you for the blessings of your house. Father, the joy we find in one another's company. God, I ask today that we'll be challenged, we'll be cleaned, and we'll be changed by your word. I pray that there will be freedom here today. I ask for the blood of Christ to cover our minds, to bind the forces of evil, and to give freedom to the Holy Spirit of God. I ask that there will be a wanting to hear in each heart. We pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask you actively to listen today and to follow the message in the Word of God. God has a message for us, and here we see that the promise of the Father, and he says, "John baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Now, in the Old Testament, we have the Holy Spirit coming and resting on a man and giving him power and anointing to do some act for God. And in departing, we have Saul, the king of Israel, who did so well. But then God rent the kingdom away from him, and God rent his spirit away from him. Now, we have the Psalm 51 by David. After watching the torments of Saul, and after experiencing and being the object of Saul's wrath and jealousy, he says, when he sinned, "I've sinned before you." He says, "Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and remove not thy Holy Spirit from me." We have a blessing in the church age that they did not have in the age of law. They had the Word of God, they had the prophets of God, they had the testimonies, and they had a lot of different signs and miracles. God sent prophets to them. They were receiving revelation and writing Scripture down. We don't do that today. We have the entire completed Word of God. "When that which is perfect has come, that which is in part shall be done away." Now, we still see through a glass darkly, but then we'll see face to face. But God has given us something that those believers did not have. He's given us the seal of the Holy Spirit of God. He says, "Wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father." We'll look through the ministry of Christ. Everything that he did on earth in a human body, he did in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. We can look at him and say, yeah, but he was Jesus, the Son of God. He did not leverage his power of being God. He leveraged and worked through the Holy Spirit of God in everything he did. So that he could turn around and say, you have the very same power at your disposal, Zach. It's amazing, isn't it? You have the same Holy Spirit inside a human body that Jesus Christ had and lived a perfect life. I'm just going to love with you and tell you that you're not going to live a perfect life. But you can defeat, like Christ did, the flesh. You can defeat, like Christ did, the world. And you can defeat, like Christ did, through the Holy Spirit of God, the devil. Here they are, and they're told to go back to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. In verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they ask of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore thy kingdom? The kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But here's something you can get yourself about and do. Here's something that you can make your business. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth. Can you see Samson in your mind's eye? And they bring him up to make fun of him. He's in a temple of Dagon, and it's filled with people. The roof is, it's this giant stone, all these Corinthian columns, and it's this beautiful house of idolatry and worship. And there's a metal, like, or not a metal, but there's a stone, and it's built up on the pillars, and there's a giant roof there, and it's filled with people. And down inside, it's filled with people. And blind Samson, and the boy brings him up, says, put me between a couple of the pillars. He gets in between there. He's kind of standing, oh, Samson, what are you going to do now? Don't you wish you had that jawbone of that ass right now? Don't you wish that you had your hair back? Don't you wish we went ahead and burned your eyes out? And Samson said, God, one more time. God, one more time, strengthen me with your spirit. Not for the rest of time, but for one more time. And God granted, and he gave the strength, and he pushed those columns out. And we're amazed by that. But here in Acts 1, verse 8 says, ye shall receive power. It's talking about power from the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. You'll receive power. The power that Samson said, God, let me have it one more time. It's the power you're going to have to live the Christian life. It's the power that you're going to have to witness. We look at the early church and we see Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost, and he's speaking, and 19 different languages can hear in their own tongue the wonderful works of God. We see Philip is preaching a revival in Samaria, and he's picked up and he's taken out to the desert outside of Jerusalem, and there's the Ethiopian eunuch. And he's reading now the scroll of Isaiah. He says, do you know what you're reading? He said, how can I accept some man? Show me. He shows him Jesus Christ in Isaiah 53. And the eunuch accepts. They come to water. He says, what prevents me from being baptized? He said, if you believe with all your heart. Then they go down in the water together. This eunuch goes back to Ethiopia. And there is a Christian movement. Ethiopia's up here. Here's Africa. Cape of Good Hope down here. Here's Madagascar over here. Here's the Ivory Coast over here. Here's the Mediterranean coast with Carthage and all of that. Algiers up here. And here's Egypt into the Red Sea, Sinai Peninsula. So here's Africa. Here's Ethiopia near the top up here. down here in Zambia. And when David Livingstone goes into Africa, 1,500 years later, goes into Africa, the dark continent, and he sees a grave in Africa, and guess what's on top of the grave? A cross! You know why there's a cross on top of the grave in dark Africa 1,500 years after Jesus Christ? Because that eunuch was faithful and they went back and built great churches in Ethiopia and they brought the gospel down through Africa. And it was a hotbed of Christianity for all that time, but they went back to being pagan. God help us, America of the Great Awakening, the Second Great Awakening, the revivals that have been localized. And if God tarries, and we've already got it right here, if God tarries, America will be a completely dark and pagan nation. And we'll go into the cemeteries and we'll see some crosses on top of the grave. Oh, how did that happen and what is that? That's not part of our culture. That's not part of our belief. It's even offensive. It's offensive right now. God help us. The Holy Spirit is a great power to Christian living, but he's also a great power to helping witnesses. Ye shall be witnesses. And it says, you shall be witnesses, and let me read this for you and explain it to you. It says, you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea. Jerusalem was a local city. We'd say Clackamas or Portland. Some of you have different areas. You say Gresham. You would say Pendleton. You know, witnesses, Happy Valley, and Judea. That's a greater area. We'd say greater Portland for all of us. Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. Looking out into the whole state of Oregon. Looking at the country of Israel. Looking at the country of America. And then to the uttermost parts of the earth. The Holy Spirit is going to lead believers. He's going to empower believers. The first day that he came on the scene and fell on them at Pentecost, Peter went out and preached to this multitude of people. And 3,000 of them accepted Christ. The Holy Spirit is all about bringing people to the cross of Calvary. His constant ministry is that he's struggling and wrestling with man. He's bringing a person to the point that they understand they're a sinner. Has anybody got to that point? That Christ died on the cross. For Christians, he's constantly convicting and convincing of sin. He's leading us into truth. He's leading us into clean living. He's leading us away from unrighteousness. In Luke 11:13, it's not the main portion. This is the one where it says, you know, if you ask for bread, would you get a stone? If you ask for a fish, would you give your kid a serpent? And it says, no, you would give them something good and wholesome and helpful. And if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? Listen to this. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Jesus, referring in Acts chapter 1 back to Luke or to John, and we look at John 15:16-17, it's chock full of his preparation and teaching during the 40 days of atonement that he's going to send the Comforter, that they're going to be witnesses, that they're going to be led, filled, and walk in the Spirit. In John 15:26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. The Holy Spirit points back to the cross of Calvary. The Holy Spirit points a man to salvation. He never speaks about himself. He doesn't puff himself up. His ministry is not a ministry of emphasizing himself. He goes back and he glorifies the Son. In Isaiah 44, 3 and 4, look at this scripture. It says, "For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thy offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the water courses." You look down through a dry, thirsty land, and there's a creek or there's a river. And you don't see the water. You don't even see the low point. You see the trees. You see the vegetation that springs up. And as God's Spirit falls down and waters in thirsty, dry places, you see the souls that spring up in everlasting life. You see the green growth of people in Christian life and Christian living as the Holy Spirit leads into truth. Yeah, he is a helper. He is a comforter. He is a guide. He's a blessing to every life on earth. He is leading and guiding and comforting and helping Christians, and he is restraining the evil of the rest of the world. You look at, if you really understood the physics of everything, it's amazing. The oceans on the end of the earth are like big bulges of water. And if they sought their level in a way that gravity would predict they would, it would flood all over. We'd have water all the way here from the Pacific. But that water bulges out around the edge of the earth. We have tides, and there's a neap tide, and there's a spring tide, where the forces of the moon and the rest of the universe or the solar system line up, and it pulls it up. And I'm very interested in the tides. Many times on my calendar, I have the highest tides and the lowest tides marked. Right, Jack? Because on those low tides, it's the best clamming of the whole year. It has nothing to do with anything, but what stops that water from coming? Now, there's a whole bunch of scientific explanation to it, but the easy answer is it is simply the power of God. How evil is the world? As I check your age, and you understand how the world has waxed worse and worse. And the things that used to be on the back streets and the alleys are now on Main Street and on the billboards. And the things that used to be, they would never put this on TV till after midnight. It's now on any time, all the time. Things that used to be ashamed to speak of are now open and commonplace. There's no ability to blush and there's no shame. Nothing is taboo. Nothing is off the table. There's nothing that will not be spoken of. I say, this morning, why isn't it worse? It's not the goodness of man. It's not that humankind is getting better. It is the same power that stops the water at the edge of the ocean. It's the power of God, restraining the evil of mankind. If you look back and think in your own life to some of the things that you thought about doing or you were ready to do, and you were stopped by something, it was the restraining and the blessing of the Holy Spirit of God stopping you from evil. I watched people get ready to say something, and all of a sudden they were stopped. They didn't know why they were stopped. It wasn't evident why they stopped. It was the Spirit of God that stopped them. When I was young, every time I did something wrong, which was quite often, I always was getting caught. My mom said, James, God keeps some people extra honest by making certain that they get caught every time they try anything. And it seems like a curse at the time, but it is a blessing and it is a protection that God is giving. May you never find out how wicked you can actually be. May you never find out how much evil you are capable of in your body and in your mind. May the restraining power of the Holy Spirit always conform and correct your life. Says he's going to testify me in Isaiah. He's going to pour out that water. It's going to be the places you can see where the Holy Spirit has been on the dry, thirsty land. In John 7:37, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. It reminds me of something in Revelation where the Spirit and the bride say, come, and whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Jesus said this, and look at the explanation verse we have next. In verse 39, for this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given. Because that Jesus was not yet glorified. You know, we have two different prophecies about the old days, the last days. And the one prophecy we're all familiar with says there's going to be a great falling away. Anybody ever heard that? Look at this prophecy here in Acts chapter 2, verse 16. He's preached the day of Pentecost. He saw these people added to the church. And Peter says here in 2:16, but this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. We're waiting for the outpouring of God's Spirit. Why do we have more believers today than they had in the nation of Israel as they came out of Egypt? There's only one answer, and it's not the goodness of man. It's not that we got seed on fertile ground. It's the blessing of the Holy Spirit of God. Come here, Zane. Are you living in there? Good job. I'm glad you're not dead. Does God's Spirit live in you?
Yes.
Is he working with you?
Yes.
Is he leading you?
Yes.
Have you wrestled with him?
Yes.
You have the same blessing, the same power of God. You have the same Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ had overshadow his ministry. You have that opportunity. Now, he's going to lead you to follow and to serve him. He's going to lead you to be a witness. He's going to give you that power. And ye shall be witnesses after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He's going to never lead you to do wrong. He's always going to lead you in paths of righteousness. He's always going to lead you to restore your soul. He's always going to lead you to be an example and a testimony. He's never going to lead you to anything that is wrong or wicked or evil or questionable. How many of you are living inside of there? and say, I have accepted Christ as my Savior. I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. And yeah, he's convicted me and he's convinced me and he's helped me with the scripture and he's led me to truth. And yeah, I have wrestled with him. You know what kind of amazing power is available to every believer through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God? You know what gets in the way? Yeah, there's a battle here. The one that'll get in the way of Zane living as a Christian is Zane. He could say, oh, it's that guy at work, or oh, it's this person. No, you are the one that'll stop you. And the spirit that dwelleth in us, remember last week, he lusteth to envy. He wants to lead us. He wants to help us. He wants to give us. And so many times, our flesh takes over. And it only takes over because we want it to. And because we allow it. See, in Romans, it clearly tells us that we're either servants of righteousness or servants of unrighteousness. Look, in Joel, we can read it back in the Old Testament, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens, in the earth, blood and fire and smoke of pillars. And the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood. In my youth, I remember one blood moon. How many have we had lately? Before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord saith, and in the remnant whom the Lord will call. In Acts 2:21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The outpouring reaction of the Holy Spirit of God being poured on the offspring, on the flesh, being poured in a dry, thirsty place, is that there's going to be an upshooting of life. And whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There will be an addition of salvation. How many times do we keep God a secret? Wait for the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father, the blessed Holy Spirit, working in our lives, ministering to us, helping us, encouraging us, giving us power. Every once in a while you see something where a tractor falls on somebody and some 70-year-old guy lifts the tractor off his grandson. Some mom lifts a car off her baby. You know, huh, where'd that power come from? Where'd that strength? Jay, as lifting weights, you've thought about that, haven't you? It's the goodness and the grace of God. And that power is readily available, not physically in pounds and force, but spiritually to the pulling down of strongholds. You got any situations in your life and you're wondering, what in the world and how are we going to deal with this? And what is God going to do? And this is a hopeless case, or this is a fat chance, or this is a long case, and there's no hope for this, and we're just going to write this one off. God takes on those cases. He transforms lives. He takes the hopeless and the helpless, and He makes them His children. He brings them into His family. Would you rather sit around and wait for the great falling away? Or watch for God to pour out His Spirit upon our sons and our daughters? That our young men could see visions and old men could dream dreams. Sometimes you say, I'm too old to dream. God in His Spirit brings that reality back to all of us. In Romans chapter 10, verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Holy Spirit works in a person's life. The Apostle Paul hit the Damascus road as Saul. He got up and he said, who art thou, Lord? No one calls Jesus Lord without the Holy Spirit of God. In Titus, we're going to close right here. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, not of works, lest any man should boast, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the promise of the Father. Does He abide in you? How hampered up is He? How much freedom does He have in your life? How much have you forced Him into a little box? Or how much have you obeyed and followed His leadership? We only have protection to the point that we resist and obey God. We are in a battle. The battle's for your mind, for your conscience, for your life, for the rest of your life. And everybody has a break in this battle right now, a challenge by the Word of God, a compelling by the Holy Spirit. Say, hey, stop and give in the battle to Him. Have you been fighting one direction for a while and then you went another direction? Did you lay down your arms? Did you give up? He always gives us another chance and another opportunity. And every time that we take an effort and take a step toward Him, He draws nigh to us. He meets us more than halfway. And He does more than half of the help. He does more than half of the covenant on Himself. God loves you. He doesn't just want you to be saved. He wants to walk with you. He wants to fellowship with you. He wants to help you. He wants to cleanse you. He wants to lead you. He wants to teach you. He wants to use you in ministry. He doesn't want you sitting on the bench or on the sideline or sitting way up as a spectator. He wants you actively serving. Glorifying Him with your body and your spirit, which are God's. We talked just a little bit about the judgment this morning. We're going to look at that fine thing we built, ready to be judged, our life, and the fire is going to come out. And it's going to shock us when we see what burns. It's going to shock us to see all the times when we was rebellious and self-willed and self-satisfied and self-righteous. God, help us to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know if you're doing right or if you're doing wrong. And if you say, I'm not sure whether this is right or wrong, you really know and you don't want to say. Our old relatives, Adam and Eve, ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and we all know. And we're all guilty before God. We have the opportunity to be forgiven and led by the Spirit of God. I want to say, take the promise of the Father and use it to the best benefit in your life each day. Walk in the Spirit. Start your day and say, God, I want to submit. I want to mortify my flesh. I want to give myself to you. I want to obey and follow and do your will. See where God leads you with that. It sounds like a little thing, but it's a big chunk to bite off.
You've been listening to a message from the pulpit of Town Center Baptist Church in Happy Valley, Oregon. We invite you to come visit us at 10505 Southeast 85th Avenue in Happy Valley. If we can be of help to you, please call us at 503-659-4494. We wish you God's very best.